Well, good morning to each and every one of you. Okay, that's not going to work there, so I'll put that here, and I'll put my tree here, and then I'll put my trash can there. There we go. All right, I know it's kind of hard, a little hard for you to see over there, but trust me, there is a trash can here, and it will be used in just a bit. If you're visiting with us this morning, I'm so glad that you were able to join us, and inside our church bulletin, which is our FYI, there's a welcome sheet in there, and one of the ways that we can connect with you, whether through prayer or just you're trying to get to know about who we are, that's one way, is you can fill that out. And in the back by the doors, there is a box that you can put that in. So if that's for you, then be sure that you do that so that we can connect with you as well. Also, in our church bulletin, there's a blue half sheet, which you can follow along in the outline if you'd like to. Or in the back, also by the doors, there's Bibles if you'd like to follow along that way. We began a series a couple of weeks ago called Mythbusters, where we're debunking the myths and deepening in truth. And we've been looking in the book of 2 Peter. And Steve started us off by saying that if there is one verse for us to really grab onto, whether it's to memorize it or to stick it on a refrigerator, whatever that is, it's found here in chapter 3, verse 18 of 2 Peter. And it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." In other words, our hope and prayer as a teaching team is that you and I would know God more deeply, know him more intimately, and that we grow in Christ. And so that is the objective that we have as a teaching team as we go through this series in 2 Peter. So 2 weeks ago, Steve shared with us that God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. And we even heard that this morning as Greg read the passage where Jesus said, "I will send my spirit." So God has given us his spirit, he has given us his church, he's given us one another so that we can grow and live a godly life for him. Last week, George shared with us that a relationship with God, it really requires our participation. And so in order to be able to grow in that knowledge in deep and intimate relationship with him, it requires our participation. So this morning, that brings us to we can see clearly now, where we're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 15. And I thought about this title, and I remember the first time that I went to the eye doctor. How many of you have ever had to go to the eye doctor for an exam? Probably every single one of us. Now, I started wearing glasses when I was in fifth grade. Now, I went into the doctor's office, and there was coloring books there, there was magazines, and you heard B101 in the background playing, you know, and just a very quiet environment. And I remember going in, and they said, "First, we're going to shoot air into your eye." I was like, "That's pretty cool, you know. I don't like it now." But at the time, they shoot the air in your eye to see if you have glaucoma or not. And then they say, "Okay, now wait out here, and the doctor will bring you in." Then you go in, right? And then they say, "Okay, I want you to read this chart." Okay, and you start reading. AX257, you keep going and going, and then you're like, "That's all I can read." Okay, so some of us may just get the first line, some of us may be able to do all the lines. And then he says, "Okay, then I got this green dot and this red dot, okay? Now I want you to make sure that you let me know when they come together." Now that was a problem for me because I have a lazy eye. So I have to concentrate all the time because this one eye will go out this way and people are like, "Is there something wrong with you?" No, I just have a lazy eye. But it was really hard, so I had to focus and concentrate. And then he'd do all those other things. But my favorite part for my first eye doctor visit was when that huge contraption came up in front of my face. You know what I'm talking about. And then all of a sudden he goes, "Okay, I'm gonna black out your left eye and I want you to look through the right. What can you see?" "Barely anything." "Okay, click, click, click. Is this better? Click, click, click. Or is this better? Click, click, click. Is this better? Click, click, click. Yeah, this is good. No. Okay, now we're going to switch eyes. Okay. Click, click, click. Is this better or worse? Click, click, click. Is this better or worse? Click, click, click. Are you tracking with me? Okay. And then he says, or she says, "I'm going to open it up." And then all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, I can see clearly now, you know? And it's like, this is amazing. I can read every single line on there. That is so cool. And then the doctor writes the script and he says, "Okay, now you take this over here and your glasses will be ready in about a week." And that's how it goes, right? So at fifth grade, I had to wear glasses. Now, as I got older, of course, I did contacts, but I need these things to help me focus on the things around me. I have to concentrate because I have a lazy eye. And I know when my eye goes, not just when people tell me, but the truth is that I will see double. No kidding. I'll look at you, Al, and if I don't concentrate, there'll be two Al's right there. But I know there's not one right there, but there's one right there. So I have to focus, I have to concentrate, and I have to use these to have a clear perspective on the things around me. And I thought about that as we are looking at our passage of Scripture this morning. And the question that came to mind is, how clearly do we see when it comes to living our life for God? How clearly do we see when it comes to living our lives for God? And that brings us to our passage this morning. If you remember, Peter is coming to the end of his life, and this was around between 65 and 68 AD. He was writing this letter to the believers at that day and time, and he was in prison, remember, for his faith that he professed. And at that time also, Nero was in power. And this guy, he was a little bit of a loose cannon. They say back in 64 AD, there was a fire that happened in the city of Rome, and it burned about three quarters of the city. Now, people in the city said it was probably Nero because he was just a loose cannon, but yet Nero said, I'm blaming the Christians. So what he did, he had Christians arrested, tortured, and then what he did was he had them put on lampposts and he lit them on the road to the city. So if we think we're persecuted for our faith today, it's a good thing we're not living back there, right? So this is what's going on here. Now, what Peter is doing in his letter, he is teaching the believers to listen. Watch out for false teachers. And so the purpose of his letter was to do several things. One was to stimulate Christian growth. Two was to combat against that false teaching. And also to encourage the alertness in view of Christ's certain return. So that's where we are. That sets the stage for our passage this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 10 to 15. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 15. Starting in verse 10, it says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. So Peter is now beginning to reiterate some things already in the beginning of this passage and in this letter. He's saying, I want you to remember, I'm going to remind you, and I want you to refresh. And so the myth this morning that we're going to be taking a look at says this. It says that we are not able to see past our past to the future. Let me say that again. We are not able to see past our past to our future. And it's, remember, he's speaking to believers here. So there may be some things that they're saying, well, you know what? There's a false teaching going on, and this really sounds good. Or, you know what? I used to live this way, and sometimes it just creeps up. And I enjoy it, or I'm human, or, you know, you got to understand that I'm forgiven and such and such. But we can't get past that. We're stuck right there. And there may be things even in our own lives that hold us captive to move forward in our relationship with God. But the beautiful thing is, and the truth is that with God's help, we can. With God's help, we can. I thought about Roy Halladay. I'm a big fan of Roy Halladay. Anyone else? Yeah, he's a pretty good pitcher, right? Do you have those pictures there, Jeremy? If we could pop up the first one there. Now, I remember Roy Halladay when he pitched for the Toronto Blue Jays. And I had the privilege of watching him pitch in Toronto because my family and I lived there at the time that he was pitching for them. Amazing pitcher. And then all of a sudden, we hear here in Philadelphia, we moved here, and then all of a sudden, Roy Halladay is now a Philly. So we got that picture up there? Awesome. There he is. And we love this guy here, right? And the neat thing is that I thought about it. I'm thinking, wow, the Phillies gave up some good prospects in order for him to be here. And the deal was done, right? So now Roy wears the Phillies uniform. He plays for the Philadelphia Phillies. He's not wearing the Blue Jays uniform when he goes out to the field, right? No, he doesn't. He wears that Philly uniform. And the team helped him acclimate to the team itself, helped him acclimate to the city, and so on and so forth. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but Roy hopefully will be pitching in Toronto 4th of July weekend because the Phillies play Toronto for a series, which I'm so excited because my wife and I are going to watch that series. So I'm hoping, you know, it'll be really cool to see even how the Toronto fans react to Roy being there. But yet when Roy goes to Toronto, he won't be going into that locker room, will he? He'll be going into Philly locker room. He will be in the away dugout. He will be the opposing pitcher. And so that's what we're trying to say. Toronto, for Roy, is his past. He is now a Philadelphia Philly. And he acts like a Philadelphia Philly. He pitches for the Philadelphia Phillies rotation. He does things in the community of Philadelphia. And so for us, with God's help, we can look past our past into the future. 1 Peter 1:10 says again, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, for if you do these things, you will never stumble." Peter wants us to have an assurance of our salvation and an assurance that we are his children. He says, make every effort. Peter here is concerned not for those who are established in their faith, but he's concerned for those who are walking away from the faith that they once claimed. And so what Peter here is doing is he knows that those who are established in the faith, they are anchored in God's truth, and they're living that out in their lives. And the basics he's telling them here is, listen, it is a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus and Jesus plus. It is Jesus having a relationship with him. And we can know that spiritual growth in our own lives, we can begin to say, that's how we begin to know. I've been called by God. I am one of his children. When we grow in his grace and in his knowledge. But also, what are we being called to? We're being called to a life of obedience and a life of holiness. Now, those words, for me, sometimes scare me. May scare some of us. To be obedient to God and to be holy. To be set apart. How do I make myself set apart? It's in our jobs where we say, I will not do whatever I want in order to get ahead. I'm set apart. I will work as if I am working for the Lord. Students, I know you're almost done school, but we challenged you before at youth. You know, we showed them a YouTube clip of kids showing you how to cheat on your exams. Set apart. I will study as hard and as diligent as I can. I'm not going to take the easy route. In our relationships, in our home lives, I want Christ to be the center. Do I get it right all the time? No, but here's what I want. Set apart. That's what God is calling each and every one of us to. And again, with his help, we begin to grow in his grace and in the knowledge of him. And what happens, it begins to produce in our lives the things that George shared with us last week. Remember the little cups? Okay, thank you, Gina. Gina remembers. Goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. And when we grow in these, it helps us. It prevents us from walking away from a faith that we once claimed. George shared this passage in verse 8 of chapter 1. It says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I think of a tree, right? Now, this isn't real, so bear with me, okay? So let's just pretend for a second that this is an apple tree, right? So here's the main part of the tree, and the branches are out. So what would produce from an apple tree? Good. So what would happen if I had my shears and I began to cut the branches off? No fruit, right? So, but what if I just pruned the tree? Better fruit. So the idea here is I brought my tree here just to ask us a question. Are we cutting ourselves off and there's no evidence of those things in our lives that God wants to produce in us? Or are we allowing God to prune us as we grow in a deeper grace and knowledge of who He is? So the question would be from our tree is, are we ready to grow in our faith in Jesus Christ? Are we ready to grow? So I brought my backpack here this morning too, because our backpack is going to represent our journey that we're on with Christ. All right, so now we said we're unable to see past our past to the future. Now there are going to be things for those who have professed a faith in Jesus Christ. We have been made right with God. But there are things in our lives, including myself, that creep up, that sinful nature comes out. And so as we journey with God, sometimes we have to take that backpack off, right? Because sometimes some ugly things creep up. So I'm going here in my backpack, and sometimes pride shows up. But we say, God, I'm ready to grow. Help me with this. With your help, I can get past this. And then sometimes I'm free. I'm free of pride. Or I'm free of addiction. Done. Only by God's grace and His mercy in our lives. Or it may be anger. I have no idea. You do. And so, cool, it's done, right? But then sometimes that past likes to go, or we even like to get back in there and say, I want to get that back in there because I can justify what I just did. There's a reason why I yelled at you. Come on, you shouldn't have been a jerk. But the point is that in our journey, there's going to be times where it's going to be a constant struggle. It will be. But what has God called us to? Obedience and holiness. So we're on our journey. So you with me so far? All right, so we're on our journey. We got our backpack going on. And the question was, before we move on, was, are you ready to grow in your faith? So as we take the next few moments in your outlines, you'll see the last will and testament of R. The last will and testament of R. Now, let me tell you what a last will and testament is. It is a legal declaration by which a person names one or more persons to manage their estate and provides for the transfer of their property at death. Okay, so that's what a last will and testament is. And so what we see here is that Peter is giving a last will and testament to the believers because he says, listen, guys and ladies, I want you to manage some things after I have left this earth. So there's where we are, the last will and testament of our. So if you're following along in your outlines, there's a few things that I want to share with you. So our first line item in our last will and testament of R is this. Remind and refresh. Remind and refresh. Excuse me here. We see in verses 12 to 14 that Peter now is in an accountability mode. But he is doing this out of love, because he wants to see what's best for them, but he is giving no apologies for what he is writing in this letter. How many of you have heard these words before? Be polite, don't get in a car with strangers, drive carefully, put on a coat, it's cold outside. All of us probably, right? And we hear that typically from parents, because why? They don't do it to irritate us. They do it because they care about us and they love us. And so Peter, again, is doing the same thing. And for us, we can remind ourselves of God's truths daily. We can look to His promises, as even Chick read this morning, and we can see how to live for His name and for His renown. 1 John chapter 2 puts it this way. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it and because no lie comes from the truth. Remember, he's speaking to people who are firmly established in the faith. And remember, the false teachers are coming in and teaching things that are against who God is and what his teachings are. And so what he's saying here is, you know truth. Remind yourself daily of the truths and promises of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, when we see from the lenses that God gives us, when we place our faith and trust in him, we will have no problem reminding ourselves who he is, what he has done for us. And what that does, it deepens our security in him. Not only do we remind ourselves daily, but we refresh our memories. We refresh our memories by pursuing spiritual growth. Remember now, Peter here is at the end of his life, but he still wants to warn the believers of the superficiality that was going on in the church. Remember, this is not what he wants them. He does not want to leave them with what's untrue, but what is true. Hold on to these things. And with Peter, it's very interesting because if you remember back in John, the book of John, chapter 21, Jesus speaks to Peter that he was going to die. He spoke to him how he was going to die. And yet Jesus said to him, still, follow me. And so here with Peter, he's saying, listen, refresh your memory. Because when we see life from God's lenses, we begin to live a life that desires to live for him. Not only desires to live with him, but desires to be with him. And so with that, we can go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it says, therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by what? We live by what? And not by? Let's try that again. We live by? And not by? So we're confident. We live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and we prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So again, remember, Peter is reminding him, here's some things I want you to handle once I am gone. And for us today, we hear these truths, but we want to continue to, again, pursue spiritual growth, remind ourselves daily, but continue to understand that there is a glorious future ahead. Amen? But we still have to live here now, don't we? We still have to wear the backpack, and we still have to sometimes we throw in the trash can or we put it back in. That constant struggle. So we remind and we refresh. The question is for us this morning, what do we need to be reminded of when it comes to living our lives in devotion to Christ? What do we need to be reminded of when it comes to living our lives in devotion to Christ? The next question is, if God were to tell you that your time was short, what will you devote yourself to? If your time on earth was short, what would you devote yourself to? Let me encourage you to continue to live a life pursuing God and devoting yourself to his kingdom's cause. So our first line item was remind and refresh. The second is this, don't forget to remember. Don't forget to remember. Now remember that Peter's love and concern for the believers goes beyond the earthly setting. Peter is dedicating the short amount of time he has left here on earth to this cause, making sure that these believers get this letter so they can manage the affairs after he's gone. And this letter was, again, a tangible way of doing that. How many of you remember the slogan after 9/11 happened? Never forget. Probably some of you remember where you were at that day. Some of you may remember people who may have been there. My brother had a friend that worked at the World Trade Center, and he didn't hear from him all day. And he was getting quite nervous and anxious, and finally around 6 o'clock that evening, his mother called him and said he was on the other side of town that day. So we remember that, don't we? And in September of 2011, we're going to remember with a 10-year anniversary. Never forget. And I thought about our God, our Heavenly Father, who never forgets His children. Not only does our Heavenly Father never forget His children, our Heavenly Father will work in us so that we do not forget Him. I thought about our trip that our youth took not too long ago. Actually, 2 weeks ago, was it? Somebody? Okay, thank you. So 2 weeks ago, we went on a retreat to a place called Indian Head Camp. And at the camp, we had a bunch of ropes courses and all kinds of challenges that the kids were allowed to do. And what they told us first thing Saturday morning was, we want you to challenge yourself. Now, we want to let you know that when you climb up these ropes and these poles and stuff, you'll be harnessed in, we'll belay you, you have nothing to worry about. And so, Jeremy, if you could show that first picture of Indian Head. Now, this here is not me, because I got up to the pole. See where the tree goes up? I only got there and I froze, because I'm not a big heights person. I really am afraid of heights. So the guy told me, Mark said, listen, if that's all the further you can go, no problem. I was like, get me down. Let's go, brother. So I'm like, you know, climbing down as fast as I could. Now, that's 10 feet. Now, the second one, the second picture here, was in the afternoon. Now, this is 15 feet up in the air, and all it is a cable and a regular rope. So you see where my feet are, and then you just had to walk across like this, you know? And Mark was like, way to go, Jeff. You challenged yourself. Did you remember how far you got, like, this morning? And I'm like, yeah, that wasn't too bad. And he said, did you do what I tell you? Just look straight ahead and don't look down? I said, I did. But when I got done, I was like, I'm ready to come. Oh, shoot, you know, and I lost it right there. And then they said, listen, here's what's going to happen this afternoon. This afternoon, we're going to do a zip line. Okay, and I'm like, okay, I can do this. And not only do we have a zip line, but we have this thing called the leap of faith, and it's 35 feet in the air. Okay, I think I can do it. So we're going up to the platform of the first zip line station, and you climb up, you walk up a hill. So you really can't tell how high you are. And then I went, and get up to the next one. Now, mind you that the next platform is only about this big, and there's five people on it, and we're 25 feet up in the air. So you're all locked in, you're harnessed, no problem. You know, so I'm standing there, just shaking, you know, because I look down. Duh. And so here I am hanging, and the lady, the instructor says, are you okay? I'm like, I'm not feeling too good, you know. And I said, because I'm not big on heights, but I remember that I can do this. I was challenged. And nothing happened to me today, so here I am. And then some of the kids are like, trying to push each other off, you know. And I'm like, would you stop it, or I'm going to, like, break your legs here, and then you'll have to go. But anyway, so you had it, and I said, she goes, are you going to be all right? I said, well, is there any other way to get down? And she said, no. There's four other ones you had to do. Now, the last one was still 25 feet, but it zipped to 35 feet. But I did it. And I want to show you what happened. So if we can cut the lights there for a second, this is just a 30-second clip of what happened when I really trusted these people and they told me things were going to be all right.
Who conquered Cyclops?
Oh, really?
The real Cyclops.
Yeah, baby, here we go! Uh-huh.
Did you hear me?
There we go. We got it. So at the end of, you know, I'm standing up on the platform and we're 35 feet up in the air. Now I'm still scared, okay? But it was just so exhilarating to know that I went from 10 feet and froze to 15 feet to 25 feet to 35 feet. Now, I chickened out on the leap of faith, you know, because that was just too much for me. Because what happens is you had to stand on the edge of that platform I got on. And then you just step out. And then it's a 1 second free fall. You may think 1 second is nothing. They say it's about 10 to 15 foot drop. So here's my wife up there. And there she goes. Woo! You know? And what happened was none of the kids were going to go until she went. So she thought she wasn't the first one to go. But what I'm saying here is that if we do not forget to remember who God is, if we don't forget to remember what lenses we're looking from, or remember that our past, God can heal us from that, and that we can move forward again to our glorious future. And what's beautiful here is that Peter, in his letter, helps us to remember to live faithful, live accountable, and finish strong until Christ returns. Because if you think about it, we are reading a letter that was written some 1900 plus years ago. Think about that. That is just a testimony to the power of God and his truth. Psalm 77, verses 11 and 12 from the New Century Version says this: I remember what the Lord did. I remember the miracles you did long ago. I think about all the things you did and consider your deeds. And so by faith, we can look at our present troubles to draw hope from how good God is and has been to us in the past. So don't forget to remember. So the question that we want to ask this morning is, what has caused us to forget about how good God is in our lives? When have we forgotten how good God is in our lives? I would challenge you to ask God to help you to remember. It may be from just a last time that he was faithful to you when you're struggling now. It may be, God, will you help me remember that day where I came to you and said, I am in need of a Savior. It may be there. I don't know. But when have you forgotten? So don't forget to remember. So as we close this morning, we want to remind and refresh, and we want to do not forget to remember. A couple questions I want to leave you with this morning. And the first one is this, is that what things in your past keep you from moving forward? What things in your past keep you from moving forward? What are those things that you keep drawing yourself to that trash can and pulling it back out and putting it in? And again, beginning to justify or beginning to say, well, you know, I made a mistake. Or are we choosing to say, I want to live that life holy and pleasing to God? And the only way that happens is in through his grace and through his knowledge, of, as we get to know him more and more deeply and more intimately. The second question would be, where are you not seeing with God's lenses? Where are we seeing without God's lenses? Is there things in your life that you say it's a little blurry? And I need God to come in and say, is this a little better? Is this a little better? You ready to see with both eyes now? Do you see it clear? Do you see it from my perspective? Do you want to walk in my ways and in my truth? Or today is a day that you realize that you do want to see things with God's lenses. And I have to say that that comes when we come to a place where we say, I have sinned against God. And today, I want to take the jersey that says enemy of God, and I want to wear the jersey that says child of God. And when I do that, I know that my eternal future is secure. Myself and the elders will be here after the service if that's where you are today. We'd be more than willing to speak with you and to pray with you. And finally, the question that I have for us is, what is the outcome for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ? Verse 11 says it beautifully. It says, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There will come a day when our time on earth is done, that we're going to be able to take this backpack off once and for all. And we're going to be able to look at our Heavenly Father face to face, and we'll be able to say to him, Soli Deo Gloria. To God be the glory alone. And I'll add to this, both now and forevermore. Let God be your past healer. Let God be your present, and let God be your future. Choose today to grow spiritually. And finally, I want to challenge us who are believers, who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. Be that person who others are grateful that you reminded, you refreshed, and you helped them remember the truths of God. Let's pray. Father, we sang this morning that we are forgiven because you were forsaken. Father, we sang that we were accepted and you were condemned. So, Father, this morning as we come to a close, I ask, Father, that you would take these words and speak to each of us individually by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that if we've come to a place this morning where we say there are things in my past that are inhibiting me from looking to the future, Father, I pray that today that they would understand that forgiveness is available. That people would understand this morning that with that forgiveness comes freedom. Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us, we would take a look and understand that as we go through this life, you have given us everything we need to live godly lives. That your heart is to see us never stumble. So may we stay focused. May we concentrate on who you are, your truths, your promises. Father, we thank you again that, God, you have been one who loved us so much that your Son sacrificed himself in order that we can have eternal celebration with you. We want to see with your lenses, Father. And so I pray that we would make that conscious decision today to do that. We need your help, Lord. You are our hope. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.